John, could we hear a little bit more about your memories of Malden and particularly your life with the barge? Would you like to start telling the story?
Yes, I think if we Malden's tied in with the barge, with the barges a lot. If we start from when I worked as an apprentice at Crompton Parkinson's, straight from school I went there and worked in switchgear. We went all through the workshops doing lathes and welding, and eventually ended up in the drawing office where I first met my the young girl who eventually became my wife. But anyway, once I'd finished the apprenticeship, got to 21, I had the call-up papers, so I was straight in the Remy, in spite of wanting to go in the Navy, but evidently anyone with the electrical knowledge was put in the Remy, Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers. I went in for 18 months. I'd been in about 3 weeks when the Suez crisis started to rear its ugly head, and I straight away had another 6 months put onto the 18 months, so that became 2 years in. That was about July 1950, was, and I finished my apprenticeship and straight in the army, and I came out in about July 1952.
And when you came out, you went back to Southend?
No, I went back to, I went into, straight into, back into Crompton, see. They had to keep jobs open for you when you went for National Service.
And where was Crompton?
In Chelmsford.
Chelmsford.
Yeah, and I used to live in lodgings in Chelmsford, in Dick's. And, I started going out with this lady that I met before I went in the army. I've got to pause. Back at Crompton's for 3 years after I came out of the army. But this time I was called in my June, who became my wife, and eventually got married. I suppose that was about 4 years after I came out of the army. And when we got married, we both packed our jobs in at Crompton's, and we got a flat at Southend. Oh, Dad got me a flat at Southend, just off the High Street. And I straight away got the job in E.K. Coles, Echo, the television people. And then June had a job in the drawing office at the airport, where there was an ex-RAF man there who'd started up an airline, and I can't remember his name, that may come later. But he was buying some civilian aeroplanes of some sort, Tudors possibly. And he was lengthening them by 10 foot, and doing the coal and food run into Berlin because of the Berlin Wall. And June worked there in the drawing office with him. During this time, my interest in barges was still there, and I belonged to the barge club, as it was then. It's a trust now, and a whole fleet of, I think it was 8 barges, came on the market from ICI, and they were called Woods powder barges. They used to carry the explosives in the river, when ships came to this country, if they came from Scotland, perhaps from the one of the explosive factories in Scotland, they would come down on a bigger ship, anchor in the lower Thames, and they would be offloaded into these sailing barges. And then a sailing barge would go and moor somewhere very quiet in the Thames and wait for a ship that was coming in to collect this explosives to take it off abroad somewhere. And then they used to load it into the big ship. At that time, the PLA didn't seem to realise you didn't have to have a petrol engine in the barge. You could have a diesel one with not so much in the way of dangers from explosives. Anyway, all this fleet came on the market, and I bought one of them, the Gippin, built 1889, got all the gear. And she'd been working all the life she'd worked. So then we had to get it over. This was when we bought them. They were laid at on the Medway at the back of Hoo Island, just below Rochester. And through the barge club, I managed to meet a chap who was actually mate on the barge when it was trading. So we arranged to bring it over to arrange the mooring at Lee in the Les Warden's boatyard at Lee, just below the bridge which went across to, I can't remember, that was a walking bridge or what, but it wasn't a traffic bridge.
So you sailed the barge around.
Yeah,
the Medway.
Yeah, I'll come to that. We arranged to go and get it because the friend who was helping me was working, so we went and we left. This was 23rd of December. We took some gear, food and stuff over onto the barge, because we had to work it to get high tides to get out of the creek where it was.
Sorry to interrupt, John. Yeah. What year was this?
This was December 57.
1957.
And we left on the high tide from Hoo and sailed out from the back of the island, no engine, of course, in those days, all sail. Got out of the mouth of the Medway into the Thames, and it got dark then, and started to blow hard southwesterly and a bit of rain. So while there was still a bit of flood tide, we could get part of the way up the Thames, and then we had to anchor to wait for later on in the night for the tide to turn so we could get up against the southwesterly winds. We sailed up, couldn't see much in the way of shoreline or even Southend Pier with the rain, but the chap who was skippering for me, his father was a skipper, his grandfather was a skipper, and I think it's bored in them. He seemed to know how much water we got underneath us wherever we were. I can't remember the name of the boy now, but there's a boy not far off Southend Pier on the other side of the river where we wanted to anchor, and although he couldn't see it, I was steering this time, first time on the barge, and he was up forward looking out for lights, and eventually he said, I think we're there. He said, we'll drop up. So he came back and we reduced some of the sail and got the anchor ready to pull over the side. And then we did it, and we rounded into the wind and then got all the sails off. And then the next morning when it was light, this boy he was looking for was about 300 or 400 yards in front of us. I couldn't believe it at the time. And then so we had to wait for later on that day to get the tide to sail across to Lee Creek, where we had, I had arranged with one of the Lee fishermen to look out for us, to come out and to tow us up the creek to Les Walden's boatyard. And that all worked like clockwork. So then there we were moored up at Lee. And from there on, we decided that we would like to live on board the barge. You couldn't live on craft at Lee or Southend, anywhere in the borough, because it had got to a bad state at one stage with loads of wrecks and that, and they were all cleared away. So you could live on the barge, I suppose, if you were insured for sea going and whatever else the corporation wanted you to do, but they didn't like to encourage living on craft again.
Did the boat need some work? Did the barge need some work?
Yes, yeah, this.
Is that why you went to the boatyard?
Yes, it did. It was the only living accommodation on it was the skipper's cabin with two berths and a stove and a water tank. And there was two berths in the forecastle as well. And the hold was completely empty with hatches over the top and canvas. So then the next stage was to plan how I was going to convert it for living on board. And that meant, where do we go from there? We did order quite a load of wood to make a cabin top. And that was the first stage, to get a cabin top and some portholes or windows in the side. My wife at the time said she wasn't going to live on a boat that had only got windows in the roof. She wanted them in the side, so they had to go in the side of the cabin.
Of course.
She wanted to see out. And from there on, that was weekends on the barge converting it. And my sister, my eldest sister at that time, she used to come and stop on board with us with a boyfriend which she got, which Mum and Dad didn't know about at the time. Well, she didn't want them to know because he had been married and he was divorced.
Did he help you?
Yes, he helped. Yeah, all chipped in.
But basically you did it all yourself?
Yeah. It was... and also, while we were around there, I did decide to put an auxiliary engine in, which I bought one out of another barge that was being broken up over at Who. That was an ex-Navy. Engine that had gone into this barge, and that was a Ford Scripps V8 with 2-to-1 reduction Paragon gearbox, we drilled out for the shaft, managed to get the berth. Where we got the barge, we got it on a quite a high bank of saltings for a while so that we could drill out through the bottom, put the stern tube and shaft in before the tide started to rise again. And that we did. And when the barge was, say, built in 1889, and when we drilled through the bottom to put the shaft in, I had to keep getting hold of handfuls of chippings that came out, because that was the pine, the pitch pine. It was been in the water all those years, and it was all oily in my hand, and the smell was fantastic. So anyway, we did finish getting the engine in, and then we thought we'd have to get somewhere where we could get a berth. Well, we used to come to Malden a fair bit, because June lived in Chelmsford, and I was at the time was living back at Shrewsbury. So we used to meet up in Malden, and that's where I found that I could live on the barge there, providing it was insured for going to sea. And so this was somewhere like two-ish years after we'd bought it. We came round to Malden in 1959. I think it was about July, July time. We'd been the weekend before to see the River Bailiff and arranged that we could have a berth at the quay. And so we left one Friday, late Friday, from Lee, had a tow out the creek, and then dropped off on our own. And for those that know the river outside there, we did manage to get as far as the Spitway, and the wind wasn't all that great, and so we had to anchor for a bit to make sure we got enough water over the Spitway. And another barge came along, was known locally as a Beadle barge. They were ex First World War landing craft, and that he came alongside us and said he'd take us when we got enough water, he'd tow us through the Spitway and point us towards the Blackwater so we could manage to sail again. And this all went well.
So was it just you and June on the boat?
No, the chap who was mate on it when it was trading. Yeah, Ron. And so from there we tied up at the quay, and eventually I managed to get water and telephone at the quay, a post on the quay which I could plug into for phone and electricity, and they could get water from the standpipe on the quay. And we had installed, before we left Lee, a gas, colour gas cooker and a colour gas fridge. And there was already a coal stove in the skipper's cabin, with a water tank one side and an oven the other side, so it could cook and hot water. And we'd already got a water tank on the barge, which the crew used to use. And there was a stove in the forecastle as well, which you could burn coal or fir nod, something like that. So we had partitioned off two big cabins and a saloon before we came round to Malden. Then we sort of, it was enough, we got enough there to live on board. We got electric, gas, water and heating.
So you were moored right on the quay?
Right on the quay.
Where against, the barges are right, now.
Yeah. And from there on I could carry on. We were both without jobs by then, because we packed our jobs in. And so I could work on the barge quite a bit. And eventually, I had to start thinking about work. I've got a job, SADS fleet of craft that they used to load the timber in. The fishermen used to unload these bigger ships down below Osey when they came in with timber and unload it all into these X-barges that SADS used and that used to tow up with the tug. We used to unload about 240 standard timber, handball, and that was that I worked at for quite a few months on
so,
that.
So what was your actual job? What were you doing?
Down in the hold and in the ship, stacking the timber into slings with slings round and then tell the bloke to haul them up on the ships.
Not in your own barge?
No. Funny, so one of the local chaps who'd also got the barge, but he used to trade with his, and we did once or twice load his barge, and he took a stack of timber up the SADS. With me standing on deck, because that was high as a wheelhouse, and he couldn't see where he was going, so I was standing on top of the timber telling him which way to go to go up to SADS. Yeah.
So how long were you at SADS, John?
I think I only worked there a summer, more or less. The ships used to be nearly one a week when they were coming in. And Browns also used to have them as well. And they got their own ex-sailing barges, which they used to load up in the river and then store them in the Heybridge Basin.
And how long were you living on Gippin?
We lived on Gippin for 8.5 years.
Did you?
Yeah, we sailed it, holidayed in it, and never had to pack to go away for holiday.
So where did you go? What was the furthest?
Well, we'd been up the Thames to just above Tilbury, and then we'd done trips in the Medway. We didn't go in the Burn River. Oh, in the Colne. Went in the Colne. And then we went up to Misley on the Stour. And another year up the Orwell to Ipswich.
Did you?
So, yeah. And then we'd often go down the river just below Osey for the weekend. The kids could go on the... Because we still, when the kids were, I can't remember when they were born now, but they were quite young. They used to play on there was a bit of sand on Osey Beach where we could go on there and they could play in the sand and edge of the water.
And you were pleased with the way your barge sailed?
Yes, it was good. It was a good barge. Actually, I could have picked one out of the 7 or 8. And the chap who was mate on this one, he suggested the one that we eventually bought. Well, he knew it. He'd been sailing on it for several years. He knew what had been done to it. And, you know, so that was good.
And what happened after the 8 years that you've been living on Gippin?
House prices were starting to go up noticeably. So that would have been 8.5 years on to, what did I say, 59.
Yeah,
8.5 years on to 59, which...
67.
Yeah, that's when we came off the barge. And... I sold the bars really before we got anywhere to live. So another friend and his wife had got a motor barge here at the quay, which they were living on. And so we moved on to there.
Were you sorry to sell it? Must have been.
Well, I think we'd got two children then, getting a bit older. And I think June had put up with it pretty well. I'd had my 8 years. And I could see cost of sales and timber was climbing, and I knew then it would be quite an expensive thing to run. Mm. It's horrendous now. Mm. The cost. Mm. If you can get timber, actually. Mm. So we moved. That's it. Harold Norris, who had the other barge, which we lived on when we moved off Gipping as well. We lived on his as well. On the Leofleda, that she was called. The other one was the King, the one we first moved on. And a friend in the town, we got to know them well, had got a spare bedroom, so we were able to deposit a whole load of furniture and stuff in their spare bedroom. And then Harold Norris and his wife, who had the Leofleda, they'd bought the next but one cottage down the road here.
Here in North Street.
They rented it to us because they were living on their barge then, and then eventually, after a couple of years, I suppose, they decided they wanted to sell it, so we bought it.
What was the quay like when you had your barge there? Were there lots of visitors?
Yes, a lot of visitors, yeah.
Did you have lots of people inquiring about your barge and perhaps wanting to come on it and look around?
Not so much really, no. There was one charter barge in. John Kemp was running the memory for charter work for one of the schools. You know, sometimes they could go on one of those. The club or trust as it is now has got two barges, the Pudge and the Centaur, which I also part own for a short while, because when we started chartering we were still living on the bar on the Gipping, and we bought the Kitty out of Haybridge Basin and fitted her out with accommodation and masts and sails, and did charter work with her.
So when did you buy this lovely house?
This house, well, one day June was coming up to town shopping, and she met Mrs. Harvey, who'd come out of the house there, and she said, my husband's retiring very soon. So June says, are you going to still live in that house? He said, no, it'd be too big and it wants too much doing. So we're selling it. Well, that was it. We were up the solicitors, both of us at the same solicitors.
And when was that?
I had to sell the other one.
Yeah.
First, but that fortunately went quite quickly.
So when did you move in here?
I can't remember the exact date, but I can go. If I go back from 57,
yeah.
I'll go to for 8.5 years on the barge, which took us to
67 after.
From 57, 59. 8.5 years on.
On 57.
On 57.
So 64.
Yeah. We lived in that cottage for 4 years.
Yeah, 68.
So that's when we came here, about 68.
Going back to your life on the barge, it must have been great fun for the children. Do you think they realised how fortunate they were, lucky they were to live on the barge?
Well, they'd never lived in a house.
I know, but compared to their friends and other...
Yeah, I suppose they used to have friends... Yeah. Friends come down, you know, to go on the barge.
Mm.
Yeah. In fact, not many months ago, John Pitt, my mate, in Church Street, had a new the flat next to him was being let, and a lady came into that an elderly lady to rent the flat, and John eventually got talking to her, and they heard about the barges and that, and she said, "Oh, my daughter used to have go down to a barge. I had a friend at school who lived on the barge, and it was one that used to come down to the place.
To yours, yeah.
To mine, yeah. So."
What was it like having very young children on the barge? Was it a worry?
No, not really, because they whenever they were on deck and the tide was in, we used to have a life jacket on.
Yes, yeah.
And especially when we were sailing.
Quite.
Yeah. And they had common sense, you
know. Yeah. So you had a good 8 years on the barge, living on the barge.
Yeah.
Lovely memories.
Yeah. It was.
Were you taking photographs at the time, and was June then?
Oh, I've
she
got.
She was
I've
painting,
got,
wasn't she? She I've was got, an artist.
Yeah, I've got. What? Well, how she became an artist? She was always good at drawing. She was good at embroidery. You couldn't tell which side was the wrong side with her embroidery. And in fact, she had won things at the local shows that they had on at Gallywood. She'd won prizes there for embroidery, didn't it? And we had a friend there who was, at the time, he was art editor on Woman's Mirror, and he knew a bit about art, and June asked him one day if he'd paint a picture of Giffin for us. He said no. He said, "I'll teach you how to paint." So that's what he did. And he was done in this soppy business, like, "Oh, that looks nice," if it didn't, you know. So what the hell have you done there? You made a right mess of that, and they get the brush out and dab and put it right, and that's how we learnt, through being corrected.
Yes.
Because I painted for a while as well.
She did a lot, didn't she? A lot of paintings.
She hundreds and hundreds. Yeah. I've got three books of pictures she sold, and what they were called and how much they went for.
And when you were living here in this house, you obviously still maintained an interest in the barges, and you were
we still had. I took on the Kitty. In fact, I financed that, the Kitty, to get that chartering. And mortgage the Giffin to borrow the money to buy the Kitty and to fit her out. And the other two partners with it, they'd both been bath skippers, and they were both good at doing things. And so that one was finished, and we got that going. Junior's to run it. She'd do all the paperwork for it and collect the money, isn't it? And then another friend of mine, who'd also brought one of the ICI fleet, the Millie, he bought the Centaur out of the basin along with someone else. And the someone else was making aircraft parts, and he got so busy that he couldn't do anything with the barge. So Richard Duke, who had bought the Centaur, I said, "Well, we've got one chartering, we could get another one chartering." So the barge came round here. On the blocks, I didn't put this engine in, we had one put in it.
So were you sailing the Kitty on the charter?
I didn't skip her, no.
No, you didn't?
No, because I was working.
All right. You just put the finance in.
Yeah.
And a lot of the hard work.
And I converted the whole.
Yeah, yeah.
All the cabins and
bunks
and birds.
Just weekends and evenings?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was working full time then.
Yeah. So you've always worked pretty hard, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Three barges I converted, really, because Giffin to start with, and then Kitty, and then Centaur.
That's some record.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Right.